How are you? We hear that question so often. And if you're like me, we probably say something like, good, and move on. Or sometimes we might say, busy. But God wants more for us. On this episode of Student Ministry Connection, I'm talking with best-selling author and speaker Alan Fadling about his unhurried life ministry and his brand new book, A Non-Anxious Life, and how that can apply to us and our students. Welcome to Student Ministry Connection, a podcast for those who serve in student ministry, but also want to connect with others and continue to grow as leaders and disciples. My name is Steve Cullum, and I currently serve as a missionary with National Network of Youth Ministries, where I get to help personally encourage, professionally equip, and spiritually strengthen youth leaders for faithful and effective ministry with the next generation. I started serving in kids and student ministry way back in 1999 as a high school student. And in the beginning, I was incredibly naive, but so excited to serve in whatever way I could. And over time, I filled my life with ministry, and I love it. However, I've also noticed times in my life where I've been working for God more than I've been working with Him. Maybe you can relate. On this episode of the podcast, best-selling author and speaker and pastor Alan Fadling joins us to talk about his ministry and his brand new book. I was introduced to Alan a few years ago at a Download Youth Ministry event, and I was given his book, An Unhurried Life. And while I'm still a work in progress, for sure, it's transformed how I approach my life and my ministry. He hosts a great podcast alongside his wife, Jim, called Unhurried Living. And he's also written several other books, including An Unhurried Leader. And his latest book is titled A Non-Anxious Life. Today, we'll talk through some of what an unhurried life looks like, and then we'll dive into his latest work talking about anxiety for us as youth leaders. Because while we know that anxiety is running rampant in the teenagers we serve, we maybe haven't stopped long enough to realize that it's also affected many of us. So even if you feel pretty healthy right now, it's important to think about these things so that we can stay healthy for ourselves, the students, the families, and the teams that we serve. Alan has also been incredibly gracious to give us a copy of his book to give away. So make sure you stay tuned to the very end of this episode for details on how you can enter to win a copy of A Non-Anxious Life. But before we hop into my conversation with Alan, let's pause to thank the sponsor of this episode. G-Shades is a youth ministry curriculum and teaching strategy focused on helping students see every life situation through the lens of the gospel. G-Shades has options to fit everyone with three plans to choose from. This curriculum gives you the resources that you need to do what you do better. Do you just need message outlines, a discussion guide, and a game? That's just over $200. Looking for a higher production value, including bumper videos, Instagram devotionals, and parent guides? That's just over $300. Or do you want an affordable, engaging video curriculum? G-Shades has you covered for just over $400. You will not find a youth ministry video curriculum at that price point anywhere else. There are lots of great curriculum options out there, but G-Shades is set apart because every lesson focuses so much on Jesus and how to see the world and life situations through the lens of the gospel. You can also learn more about the creator, Mike Haynes, on episodes 32, 55, and 93 of this podcast. So head over to gshades.org to download season 5 of G-Shades Youth Ministry Curriculum. And be sure to use the promo code CONNECTION at checkout to save $20 off your order. G-Shades, seeing life through the lens of the gospel. Thank you so much, G-Shades, for sponsoring this episode. You can find the link to G-Shades in the podcast show notes. I also want to take a moment to talk to you about the Orange Conference. It's one of my favorite conferences that I go to each year. The Orange Conference 2024 will be April 23rd through April 25th in Atlanta, Georgia. This is a 3-day in-person and online event for kids ministry, youth ministry, and next-gen ministry leaders. You'll hear from main stage speakers like Kristen Ivey, John Acuff, Reggie Joyner, Joseph Sojourner, Leslie Mack, John Williams, Chinwe Williams, and so many more. And you'll also have the opportunity to choose from over 60 workshops on specific ministry ideas and concepts that you do not want to miss. So, If you want to join me at Orange Conference 2024, I've got a code to help you save 10% off your tickets. Just use OC24NNYM10 and you'll be able to save 10% off your Orange Conference tickets. You can find the link to register and the discount code in the podcast show notes. Hi, Alan. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Great to be able to be with you. Thanks.
So I've gotten to know you just a little bit more from a distance over the last few years. I originally heard about you through our mutual friend, Doug Fields, and big fan of your book, An Unhurried Life, and got to read that book and everything, and feel like I've gotten to, like I said, know you from afar, but this is the first time I think we've actually had a conversation. So for our listeners and for my sake, I'd love to hear a little more about your story, your testimony, maybe how you originally met Jesus, but also how you got started in your ministry career.
Sure. Well, so I grew up in a not particularly religious family, so there wasn't much faith history there. But as a high schooler, Young Life was active on my campus. And the Young Life leader took me sort of under his wing and loved me. And then I had a buddy of mine who was a key leader in that group too. So that was an important part. And then early Christian music was a big part. Like, I was at a public high school in Sacramento where they brought in Keith Green and Randy Stonehill, and they did public, you know, high school concerts. They didn't preach or evangelize, but they shared their songs. And that was intriguing to me. So that's a lot about my early experience of coming to faith, but that was huge. And then fairly quickly, I became a youth intern in a Baptist church up in Sacramento. That would have been in 83, so almost more than 40 years ago. And so I spent 20 years in youth or college ministry in church settings. And then the last 20 or so, more so in a kind of caring for pastors kind of role. And then the last 8 in our own nonprofit called Unhurried Living.
Wow, that's so cool. And yeah, I know a lot of our listeners are probably connected with or are very familiar with Young Life and all that too. So that's really cool to hear. And Christian music was a huge part of my upbringing as well. A teenager in the 90s youth group world, of course, that was huge as well.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with some of those names. Some of them were ones that were kind of on their way out as I was getting into it, but I'm still very familiar with those names.
Yeah.
So as I said earlier, I got introduced to you through a DYM event. Doug was talking about how much he was impacted by your book and gave us all a copy of it. And so when Doug Fields recommends that you do something, you do it. And so I read your book and was very, very transformative in my life and how I have been approaching my life and my ministry recently. Mm. But I just would love to give you an opportunity to kind of briefly walk through this idea behind An Unhurried Life before we jump into your most recent project.
Sure. Well, I would say one of the seeds of that book was a line that Dallas Willard spoke to John Ortberg. It's now been made famous by John Mark Comer's book, Ruthlessly Eliminating Hurry. And that just struck me when I first heard it as a word of profound spiritual guidance. Like, I realized I needed that. And then he was talking to another friend of mine, Dallas was, and it came up, if you had one word to describe Jesus, what would that word be? And Dallas said, I think mine would be relaxed. That was not on wasn't even on my top 10 list of words I would have used to describe Jesus, but it was intriguing to me and it set me on a quest. What does that mean? What would that look like? How would that affect me? If that's what Jesus is like, how would that change me? And so all of that sort of became, seeds for the book. There was a saint from a number of years ago who said, "The one who hurries delays the things of God." Mm. So we live in a world that tends to value hurry. If you ask somebody how they are, there's a good chance their answer, if it's one word, could easily be busy. Mm. And it's kind of half complaint, but half boast. Like, I'm super important. Lots of people need me. I'm busy. So the other thing I'll say about it is when I talk about hurry and busy are not the same thing. Busy, that's your calendar. We all have busy seasons. We all have busy moments in our lives, but busy is just your calendar, your schedule. Hurry, that's about your soul. That's about what's happening on the inside of you as you do whatever you do. You can be hurried on a day off. So hurried's about your soul. And those are just some of the insights that, you know, I wrote about in that first book.
And one thing that I've been learning a lot over the last several years, your book has played a big role into it, your podcast as well, but just some things that the Holy Spirit has been working on in my life is this idea of rest. And actually, I released a couple episodes ago, just a short podcast about rest, because it's been something that God's been trying to teach me a lot over the last several years as well. I loved your mini series of episodes on your podcast recently on rest and Sabbath as well. Could you walk through just a little bit of what you've learned in the process of studying rest and Sabbath?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the first thing I'll say, and this will come as no surprise to you or your listeners, you know, we live in a culture that values work. We do not live in a culture that values rest. And so for many of us, our vision of rest is either the word work with a red slash through it, like it's not working, or it's the place we collapse when we have got no more energy to work. So it's an afterthought. And you only stay there long enough to recharge your batteries, then get back to work. But what I want to say is that I think the biblical vision of work and rest is that work grows in the soil of good rest. Like instead of rest as the afterthought, as the collapse at the end, it's the soil at the beginning. It's where good work grows. The other thing I want to say is that resting well is actually hard work. So just putting the car in neutral and letting it roll wherever it wants, that may not be rest. Sometimes we settle for numbing or escaping or avoiding, thinking that's rest. Well, numbing, you may not feel tired, but you also are not probably getting refreshed. So resting can be a challenge, but it's a good challenge. The other thing I want to say is that work and rest are both gifts that God gives us. That makes a difference in how we see our work, and that makes a difference in how we see our rest. And the last thing that maybe I'll say is that rest is a good thing in itself. I argue this from the story of creation. Day six, we're created. We come on the scene. Day seven, our first experience, our first full day, God basically just wants to hang out. That's, to me, an image of we begin with God in rest, and then we move with God into our work. I think we'll do much, much better work when we're honoring God's rhythms of rest in it.
Yeah, that's so good. And I feel like, yeah, and during this journey, your research and your writings and your podcast has really helped, as well as I spent a good number of good little time with the Bible Project's study that they did on Sabbath as well. And
oh, wow.
It's something I feel like we haven't really taught a whole lot in within the church. We don't teach how to rest well. And that idea of rest, like you said, is hanging out with our Creator. Like He wants to just be with us. And yet it's something that we don't really talk about a lot. We don't really teach about a lot. And so here I was well into my 30s. And I was like, you know, I don't know how to rest.
Yeah. I remember I'm sitting in a room of pastors in St. Petersburg, Russia. They've come from all over the former Soviet republics. This was not that many years ago, pre-COVID, but and I'm talking about rest and I'm talking about numbing. And one of the pastors in Russian, I couldn't understand him until the translator told me what he was saying, basically said, I don't know how to rest. I only know how to numb. And I just looked at him and laughed because I was so grateful for his honesty. I just think a lot of us feel very similarly. We're not taught how to rest, largely not taught. And it's not often modeled for us how to live restfully. I remember a lot of mentors saying things in the earlier days of my ministry. I'd rather burn out than rust out for God. What I want to say is those are the only two options.
Right.
No others, really. So,
yeah. I would love to talk about your most recent book as well. So before we jump into the book itself, I'd love to hear a little more about that journey from an unhurried life to now a non-anxious life. How did that transpire for you to get from unhurried to non-anxious?
Yeah. Well, the simplest answer to that is that 2 weeks into the COVID pandemic, when quarantining had just gotten rolling here in California, where I live, I proposed this book. And the main pitch that I gave to the publisher was, look, the more I talk with leaders about hurry, the more I realize that for a lot of us, hurry is anxiety. Mm. Like anxiety is what's driving a lot of our hurry. So that was like the little short pitch for the book. But what I didn't realize, as then it took 4 years to write it, was how anxious the years would be that I was working on this book. I mean, for many of us, like for me, a lot of my work is speaking. So in 2 weeks in early 2020, my calendar went from full to empty. And that was a revenue reality. That was an activity reality. It was our ministry reality. It was a personal reality. And talk about pushing my anxiety buttons. So that's a little bit of the story of why I started writing it. But then the season in which I wrote it, I had to live a lot of it before I was ready to write a lot of it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I know, I think through reading it, through hearing you speak about this, I think there's so many of us in general, but in the ministry world, who we're living in a constant state of anxiety, and some of us probably don't know it. And some of us are almost kind of addicted to it, if I could say that. Like, I feel like that's how we get things done. And we're productive when we're anxious. And so even though we may know it's not the greatest thing, there's kind of this addiction in a way. Have you seen that too?
That's a great way to say it, really. The way I said it in the book is I realized, well, let me say this. So I remember hearing Dallas Willard say once, anything you could do in anxiety, you could just do a lot better in peace. Hmm. And part of me said, man, that's good. And another part of me said, I don't know if I buy it. I'm afraid I won't get anything done if I don't have my anxiety. As though it were an asset, you know, as though it were a, you know, benefit to me. But maybe Dallas is right. For that matter, maybe Jesus is right about my anxiety.
Yeah.
Maybe if it's fuel that burns dirty. Maybe it costs me something more than I realize, even as it's pushing me to do a lot and to hit high standards and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's definitely been something I've seen.
Yeah. So before we move on to a couple different points in the book, I think it's important for us to kind of define anxiety, since it's a word that it describes so many different scenarios, especially in today's culture. So how do you define anxiety for the purposes of your book?
Yeah. So it might be easier for me to give you like a working description as opposed to like a dictionary definition. And so what I've been saying, and this is what I've been working with myself, is that anxiety is what my cares look like when God's care is thin in my awareness. Like when I imagine I'm the only one who cares about this thing, this person, this situation, I'm the only one who cares, or I care the most, that care starts to look a lot like anxiety. Mm. When my care is happening in the context of a greater care, an unfailing love that God is constantly extending, then my care can be right-sized. Mm. But anxiety, I grew up in a family, anxiety equals love was our kind of operating system. So if you frantically worry about something, that proves you care. If you've ever been on the other end of being worried about like that, it doesn't always feel like care on that side. So what I decided is that actually maybe a better equation for an operating system would be something like anxiety equals care minus God. Like, again, that's what anxiety is, what my care looks like when it's not happening in the context of God's greater care. That's been a working definition for me. That's been helpful.
That's really good. Yeah. So I would love for people to read your book, but to just kind of give them a taste of it, I thought I'd just jump into a couple different parts. So one of the things you say at the very beginning is that you're learning to upgrade your internal operating system from anxiety to peace. And one way you do this is by focusing on the Lord as your good shepherd, something that my wife has been, God laid on her heart over the last couple of years as well, is to learn more about shepherding, because there's so much of the Bible that talks about Jesus is our good shepherd. And so she's been learning all about this stuff. Neither of us grew up in a farming community. So we're like, what does this even mean? But for you to rewire your internal operating system, reminding yourself that the God of peace is our good shepherd, how can focusing on that truth help those of us that are in student ministry?
Yeah, no, that's really good. So what I've been finding is that that very simple vision of God, you know, that line from Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want it. It helps me in the moment when anxiety hits me, hits me as a series of racing thoughts, hits me as an emotional dynamic, literally hits my physical body, you know, adrenaline running through my system. It helps me in that anxious moment to remind myself that whatever it is not the biggest thing happening in my life, that God's shepherding presence is bigger than this thing that has provoked my concern and care. So I'll pray it, and I've prayed it in so many different ways, but it'll sound something like, you know, the Lord is shepherding me right now. Even though I feel this way, I'm not going to find myself without what I really need, regardless of what anxiety is claiming. Because anxiety behaves like a prophet. It claims to know the future. Well, this bad thing happened, so get ready for it. More bad's on the way. But anxiety's been wrong so much. And so being able to see myself in the shepherding care of God, that this unpleasant, anxious moment is not necessarily, you know, a predictor of things to come. It's just a moment. And so it has been helping me to rehearse that idea and to remember, you know, right now, this bad thing happened, but God is shepherding me. And this may turn out better than I currently assume.
Yeah. And I feel like, within ministry, but especially youth ministry, there's so many different things that are jumping our way that can always cause anxiety. But to remember that bigger picture is huge. I mean, you had several years being a youth pastor, you know, moms, teenagers, circumstances happen all the time. And to have that bigger picture in mind is huge.
Yes, absolutely.
So I also love how you dive into Jesus's words from Matthew chapter 6, a classic Sermon on the Mount. He talks about anxiety right there. But I also love how you draw attention to what Jesus calls us when Jesus calls us his friends in Matthew chapter 15. So how can that reminder help us when we're struggling with anxiety as well?
Yeah, so I think our vision of God, our vision of Jesus, how we imagine him makes a huge difference. Like, does your vision of God include a God who smiles when he looks at you? Does your vision of Jesus look like someone who wants to be your friend? Or is your vision of Jesus someone who just gives you lots more work every time you show up? My vision of Jesus for a while in my early ministry was not so much Jesus as my friend or Jesus even as my Lord, but Jesus as my boss. And then I wasn't sure I wanted to pray or spend any time with Jesus. I was afraid I was just going to get more work. Well, that wasn't about him. That was about me. So it's helped me to think about Jesus. You know, for example, in that Sermon on the Mount, he says, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, so on. I don't think the spirit of that is like, stop that, knock it off, quit worrying you. I think the spirit of it is more like a friend saying, you know, you really don't have to. I mean, what do you have to worry about, really? If you have a father who can take good care of birds who are here today and gone tomorrow, don't you think maybe you can count on him to take care of you, someone made in his very image, someone who is beloved to him? And so that has really helped me. Not just stop all that worrying, but you don't have to worry. Doesn't help. Is it helping? You know, it's like Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? So that has really helped me. And the idea of friend, you know, he didn't call me first as a servant, mostly as a worker. He called me to be a friend, someone close. And then as friends, he wants me to join him in his work. It's not the other way, like I have to work, 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 and maybe someday I'll earn friend. I'm given friend, and I'm invited from that place into work. That's a very different vision.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know exactly if this is correct, but I feel like it was the same DYM event that I was at that I walked away when I first heard from you and some other people at that event that the Holy Spirit was like screaming at me that day. He's like, stop trying to take Jesus's place. That I was trying to have this like unconsciously this savior complex myself. And I thought I had to do all this different work to possibly earn God's favor or just make him happy or whatever it was. But as you were just saying that, those thoughts of that moment just came flooding back in my head. Those times where I just tried to work and work and work. And I didn't know exactly why, but it makes sense that I was, you know, possibly trying to earn God's favor in that rather than just accepting, hey, you know what? He's already your friend. Just live in that.
Absolutely. That makes a huge difference. But I think a lot of us start off in a place where we feel like we have to earn God's favor, as though favor could be earned. Hmm. Like, by definition, that's not how favor or grace works.
Right. Yeah. So I know, just speaking of what we were talking about, those of us in ministry can easily get caught up in that work, which you address later in your book, which I thought was awesome. And as you mentioned, one way that you're working on it is to live in peace is praying your work and then working out your prayer. Can you walk us through what that looks like?
Yeah, it's a little practice I kind of came up with, I don't know, somewhere in the last 10 years. But a lot of times my work is what causes my anxiety, you know, feel like I have too much of it, feel like I'm never done with it. Any number of other ways that my work provokes anxiety. And so one of the things I do at the beginning of every week, usually on a Sunday night, is I sort of look at my calendar. Usually there's already stuff there, appointments, meetings, whatever. And I look at my to-do list or where I keep track of things. And these are some things I want to work on. And I sort of imagine with God what it will look like to do some of those things, but do that in the presence of God. Not do it for God as though God were at the home office and I'm out here at the satellite office doing something for him. But that, how will we do this together? And then each evening, I will generally take a little bit of time before I go to bed as part of my evening prayer. And I'll just look at the day ahead, the next day, the next morning and through the end of the day. And I'll just imagine what it will look like to do each of those things with God. And that's what I mean by praying my work and then working my prayer. I'm not so much sort of saying, okay, God, now it's 7 o'clock. I've got this appointment. And so would you please do this and do that and do this? A lot of times it's just me saying, wow, thank you that I get to do that. Thanks that you're going to be with me. I can't wait to see what's going to happen when that moment comes. Or it may be I'm working on a book and man, this chapter is just kicking the spokes out of my tires. I mean, be with me. Help me hear your voice. Help me to sense that you're the one, that I'm doing this with you. I'm not doing it for you. And I'll just imagine that. And then when I'm in the midst of my day, like today has been just a day of a lot of Zoom calls and interviews and conversations like ours. And I'm tempted to be overwhelmed. Wow, that's a lot of different meetings. Boy, and I'm an introvert, so I'm not sure I want to have that many meetings. But it helps me at the beginning, as I did this morning, just kind of to look through my day and think, that's going to be a great opportunity. Thanks for how you'll be with me. That changes my energy level. It changes my perspective. It changes my attitude about the work. And so that's a little bit about what that practice looks like. And I unpack it a little bit more in the book.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you talk about this in the book, but I've heard you speak about this in person as well. That concept of doing work with God rather than for God. And it's been, I just want to thank you for that phrasing, because I think it's been in my constant prayers as well, because I feel like I've way too much of my ministry career, I've been doing things for God rather than with him. And it's a small change, but with huge implications.
Just a little tweak.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That I would just say sometimes the biggest changes happen from little teeny tweaks like that.
Yeah. I also love how you included some just practical steps and questions at the end of each chapter, and also a group guide at the end. So that's more of just me saying thank you, because I think a lot of times we read these books and go, what am I going to do with this? So thank you for thinking ahead for those of us that need help processing. Okay, this is a great concept, but how do I do this? How do I walk through this with others? And yeah. I would encourage, yeah, if you're listening to this and you have a group of youth, other youth leaders that you're working with, potentially consider going through that together with them. And Alan's included a great guide there at the end. Yeah. I'd also like to turn just slightly away from the book just a bit, because we all struggle with anxiety, but we also have so many teenagers that we are ministering to nowadays who are struggling with it, I feel like, at an alarming rate. They are really struggling with anxiety. And so those of us that are leading students who are really struggling with anxiety nowadays, how can we lead those students well?
Yeah. Well, I think that is maybe the $10 million question, you know, not just for youth pastors caring for youth, but for any of us in a caring profession. And I think maybe my answer will sound a little counterintuitive, but I really think maybe the main thing we give those we serve, in this case, you know, if you're a youth pastor, that you give your students, is addressing your own anxiety. Okay. It's finding your way to living and being at home in the peace of God. I mean, the statistics on anxiety among youth and young adults is just overwhelming in the last 10 years, in the last 5 years. I mean, it's alarming to what we're seeing. And I think students and young adults especially need to see people who are at peace. Mm-hmm. Now, that may sound like a no-brainer, but it's not that easy. And I know from my own experience being involved in ministry, sometimes what we feel like the main thing we need to give our students is lots of excitement. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes excitement's rooted in anxiety instead of being rooted, let's say, in joy. Mm-hmm. So I know you need a lot of energy to care for students and to help them feel like this matters and have fun. Of course, I'm not saying you create some morose, morbid, boring, you know, weekly meeting. None of them will come to it. But at the very same time, that excitement could be rooted in peace. Hmm. It could be rooted in the fruit of the Spirit. And I just know for me, for the longest time in youth ministry, a lot of my ministry was about trying to get the students to like me because I needed something from them or thought they could give me something. That's not, you know, I'm to be like Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. So I think one of the great things we give to those we serve is our own non-anxious life. Learning to trust and live into and embody the peace of God, and then bring that to everything we do, every meeting we have with those that we care for. I think that's the huge thing that we could give to those we serve.
Mm. That's so rich, man. Yeah, because I think what you said is just spot on. We try to do these so many things, but how are we providing if we really are seeing this really significant problem with the rise of anxiety in the next generation, how can we provide them that peace? How can we point them to that peace that only God provides? And man, that's huge. Wow. I could think about that the rest of the day. But before we do close, I would love just to give you an opportunity to, I mean, you've shared so much wisdom and encouragement with our audience already, but just give you another opportunity before we close to maybe encourage our audience just a little bit more with anything that God has laid on your heart.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would want to say to your audience, assuming we're talking about youth pastors, is thank you for what you do. There is such a need, and for you to be caring for these young adults is huge. The thing that I want to say maybe to your audience particularly is, if you struggle with anxiety, as I have my whole life, you are not helpless. Anxiety is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Even if anxiety has been a lifelong habit for you, you have a Prince of Peace who would love to train you in his way of peace. It's possible to find peace right in the middle of anxiety-provoking situations so that anxiety doesn't paralyze you or intimidate you or, for that matter, drive you. God really does want to shepherd you. And maybe the little last thing I'll say is it's been making a difference to remember that Jesus is a Prince of Peace. That's not just a nice Christmassy thing to remember. That is a description of Jesus that is true every day. He is the Prince of Peace for my heart and mind. He is the Prince of Peace for me in my relationships, to the degree it depends on me. He is peace for me in the middle of my work. I can do my work in a yoke that fits well because I'm not alone in it. The Prince of Peace is with me in it. And therefore, I'm not even carrying the heavy end of it. And that makes a huge difference for me in my anxiety. And I think it would make a huge difference for your listeners in their wrestling with it. Mm.
Alan, it's been so good to have you on the podcast. I've loved hearing you speak. I've loved reading your books. And you've just been a huge blessing to me. And I hope our audience as well. I know that they're going to want to connect with you more, listen to your podcast, get your new book as well. So how can people connect with you online?
Thank you. Well, so the book is available pretty much anywhere you like buying books. You can buy it in print. You can buy it in ebook. I narrated an audiobook. You can access it any of those ways. If you want to find out more about what I do or what our ministry does, unhurriedliving.com. Yeah, we do have now a biweekly podcast. My wife has rejoined the podcast. So Mondays it's me and Thursdays it's her. We're both talking about these themes. We have a weekly email on Wednesday. It's curated and carefully edited. It's not just us throwing stuff around. Those have been really well received. Those are free. You could access them on the website as well. And then, you know, the podcast itself, you can access that anywhere you like to listen to them. So awesome. Those are a few ideas about how to get in touch.
Great. Great. Well, Alan, it has been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for your ministry and your willingness to bless us today. So God bless your ministry as well.
Thanks so much. It's been great to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining Alan and me on this episode. If you enjoyed what you heard today, I want to encourage you to do a couple things in response. First, don't just move on to the next thing on your to-do list, but make sure you take some time to reflect on what Alan shared today. And second, consider sharing this with another youth leader you know, and maybe even go grab coffee or lunch to discuss it together. If you'd like to order a copy of Alan's new book, I'll have a link in our show notes, but he was also incredibly gracious and gave us a copy to give away to one of you. I'll have instructions on how to enter in the show notes and our Instagram, but essentially, all you need to do is interact with the Instagram post for this episode by liking it, leaving a comment, and sharing it. I'll pick a winner at random from those who enter on March 19th, 2024, and then I'll announce it on our Instagram stories and contact that winner via direct message on Instagram. So make sure you follow at Student Ministry Connection to enter, but also see if you win. And as we begin this 9th year of the podcast, I want to thank you so much for listening, for sharing, and for your general support of this podcast as a resource to youth leaders. And if you'd like to support my ministry with National Network of Youth Ministries, please follow the link in the show notes where you can sign up for our prayer partnership team and also our financial partnership team. I also want to extend a huge thanks to those who have already partnered with me. And if you're interested in joining my team, please follow the link in the show notes or reach out to me. I would love to talk to you more about how you can partner with this ministry. And before we go, I also want to thank G Shades for sponsoring this episode. Check out their website at gshades.org and use the promo code CONNECTION to save $20 off your order. And while you're over there, be sure to check out their blog and also the book from G-Shade's founder, Mike Haynes. Also, another reminder that if you want to join me at the Orange Conference 2024 and save 10% off your tickets, just use the promo code OC24NNYM10. That's OC24NNYM10. And you'll save 10% off your Orange Conference tickets. Like I said, we are just starting the 9th year of this podcast, and I am so excited about where we are going in the future. Next episode, I'm going to get very practical and talk about high school graduation. It's something so many of us are thinking about right now, as I see it all over student ministry groups online. So I'm going to share some details about a program that I've done at a few different churches that has worked really well for us. And then we've had a couple episodes coming very soon where we're going to talk to guests about being fired from a ministry and how to recover after that, but also how to get through the valleys of ministry, and so much more is also on the way after that. So make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube so you don't miss it. And until next time, be sure to stay connected, and may God bless your ministry.